Our scripture reading this morning will come from three places in the book of Samuel. The first place will be 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And I also want to read, as we begin, from the Westminster Shorter Catechism concerning repentance. You will find that on page 875 in the back of your hymnals. And then we will read the Word of God. Number 875 in the back of your hymnals. And question and answer 87. What is repentance unto life? Repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God, with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. And then, as we turn to God's Word, in 2 Samuel 16, we begin reading at verse 5. This is the Word of God. As David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? David said to Abishai and all his officials, my son who is of my own flesh is trying to take my life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I am receiving today. So David and his men continued along the road, while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went, and throwing stones at him, and showering him with dirt. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there he refreshed himself. And then if you turn with me to 2 Samuel 19, beginning at verse 15, 2 Samuel 19, beginning at verse 15. Then the king returned and went as far as the Jordan. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera the Benjamite from Bahurim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 Benjamites, along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed to the Jordan where the king was. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, may my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first of the whole household of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed. David replied, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? This day you have become my adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Do I not know that today I am king over Israel? So the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king promised him on oath. And then if you turn to me with me just to one more passage from the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 8 through 9. And remember, you have with you Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, who called down bitter curses on me the day I went to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, I will not put you to death by the sword. But now do not consider him innocent. You are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do with him. Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood. Thus the reading of God's word from 2 Samuel and from 1 Kings. One of the main questions that is often asked about our text this morning from 2 Samuel 19 is whether David should have put Shimei to death. In verse 21, Abishai speaks to David. He tells him, shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He has cursed the Lord's anointed. Abishai is recognizing the crime that has taken place. It is a violation of the law of God. In Exodus 22, verse 28, God tells us that anyone who curses God or the Lord's anointed should be put to death. In 1 Kings chapter 21, Naboth owns a vineyard. Ahab wants his vineyard. Jezebel stirs up false accusers against Naboth, telling these false accusers that Naboth has cursed the king, and Naboth is stoned to death by the people. Yet, as the story ends in 1 Kings chapter 2, David tells Solomon to bring Shimei's gray head down to the grave in blood. He tells Solomon to do this because he called down curses on me on the day I fled to Mahanaim. At the end of our story, it seems that David agrees that Shimei is worthy of death. Nevertheless, in 2 Samuel 19, he allows him to live. Why? The answer to that question begins all the way back in chapter 16. We read a moment ago the context of our story. In that story, we read that David is running from Jerusalem, from his son Absalom, and on his road of humiliation, Shimei comes along and calls down curses. He calls David a man of blood, a scoundrel. He calls David a man who has shed the blood of the household of Saul, in whose place he has reigned. He throws stones and dirt and pebbles upon the king. When Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my king? Let me go over and cut off his head," David leaves it in God's hands. In chapter 16, David recognizes that Shimei is there from God, that this is part of his curse, this is part of his humiliation. He is cursing because the Lord has said to him, "Curse David. Who can ask, why do you do this?" David understands in the context of God's providence that Shimei is there to curse him as a result of what God has ordained. This is part of his humiliation. This is part of his suffering. The old Saul household rivalry is coming back once again when David is at his weakest. But now, as we come to chapter 19, the situation has changed. David's army has defeated Absalom and his army. David has heard at the beginning of our chapter that the Israelites are now arguing over whether David should return home as king. David stirs up a division in the kingdom, asking the sons of Judah, his own tribe, his own flesh and blood, to make him king and to welcome him back again into the land of Israel. And Shimei knows this. Shimei knows what he has done. He knows the law of God, and he has a plan for returning to the kingdom. In chapter 15 of chapter 19, he goes with the men of Judah down to the Jordan, down to Gilgal to meet David. In verse 16, we have read that he has gone into the river, and he goes down not alone, but with some men. He has 1,000 Benjamites with him. 1,000 in the scriptures usually represented 1,000 or a regiment of an army. He has with him Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, somebody friendly to David, who had 15 sons and 20 servants, all there to meet the king. We read at the end of 17 that they rushed to the Jordan where the king was. They crossed the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. You see, Shimei has a plan when he meets David again. He's not going to go alone. He has heard about the rivalry in Israel, the arguing that is taking place between the tribes as to whether David should return. He knows the penalty for cursing the Lord's anointed is death, so he doesn't go alone. He goes with 1,000 men from Benjamin. He goes with Ziba, who has been friendly to David, and he knows that with all those men present, it would not be likely that David would put him to death. Not only does he go with a group of men with him, but we also read in verse 18 that he crosses the Jordan and he falls on his knees before the king. He said to the king, "May my Lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. Forget it, O king. Don't hold me guilty for what I've done. Don't remember what I did before." Verse 20. For I know your servant knows that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first of the whole house of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king. I know that I have sinned, he confesses, but today I've come here as the first of the whole house of Joseph. The house of Joseph representing the northern tribes that he knows David wants to bring back together again. He's the first. He's come to meet my lord the king. Don't think of my sin. Don't think of what I've done. I know I've sinned, but put it out of your mind and look how faithful I am now. Before David can answer, before he can say anything in response, there's Abishai once again. Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He has cursed the Lord's anointed. And right he is. The book of Exodus tells us that anyone who curses God or the ruler that God has appointed curses God. In other words, the implication of the command is that God is represented in Israel by the king. And if you curse the king, you are cursing God's representative and you are cursing God himself. Abishai's answer, his point to David, points out the falseness of Shimei's confession. We read that he falls on his knees. We read that he knows he has sinned. We read that he wants the king to put it out of his mind. But we see no confession that he has sinned against God. From the Westminster Catechism, we read what is true repentance, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God. Shimei is saying a lot of the right things, but we don't see a lot of remorse. We don't see a lot of his understanding that not only has he sensed that he has sinned against the king, but he sinned against God, which is what the command implies. But nevertheless, there he is before David with 1,000 Benjaminites and Ziba, the steward of Saul's household. David responds to Abishai, "What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah?" We've heard that before, haven't we? That's exactly what David said in chapter 16. In chapter 16, after Abishai had called this man a dead dog for cursing the king, after he had asked the king if he could go cut off his head, David responded the same way, "What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah?" There's a connection being made between both stories, between David's answer, between the way that David is answering this question from Abishai. The first time David answers it in a theological way. He is cursing because the Lord has said to him, "Curse David." Because if the Lord has said to him, "Curse David," who can ask, "Why do you do this?" The first time David understands that what Shimei has done is from God. He is on the road of humiliation. And God has ordained that Shimei would come and call down these curses upon him as part of David's suffering. But this time, when Abishai directs him to God's word, David responds with a practical reason. "This day you have become my adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today, do I not know that today I am king over Israel?" Abishai, I'm not going to be pushed around by you sons of Zeruiah. I am the king on this day. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? David grants him mercy. In verse 23, the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him on oath. Nevertheless, the mercy David grants is only temporary. For as we saw when we read from 1 Kings, David later tells his son Solomon to bring Shimei's gray head down to the grave. Why? "Because on the day I went to Mahanaim, he called down bitter curses on me that day." David keeps his oath. He does not have Shimei put to death during David's lifetime, but his son Solomon will put him to death for his crime. But why Why does David not put him to death in chapter 19? Why does he grant him this mercy again? We pointed out in chapter 16 that David understands the providence of God. He understands that Shimei's cursing is from God. And being consistent with what he has said in chapter 16, David again is consistent in granting him mercy. He hears the confession. He hears the repentance. Perhaps he even recognizes at this point, certainly he does later, that it's not sincere and true. Nevertheless, David grants him God's mercy and lets him live. There is a lesson in this story concerning repentance, a lesson in God's church, a lesson in God's families. The principle that is being applied in this text from the command is that God, anyone who curses God, should be put to death. God has also instituted rulers, kings, and anyone who curses the king curses God and should be put to death. God gives us authorities in our lives. God gives us pastors and elders. In our homes, God gives us parents that have been given God's authority. And they represent God in our lives. And one of the most difficult decisions that pastors and elders ever make is to judge repentance. And nevertheless, as pastors and elders have to make these difficult decisions, there are people that make these decisions even more difficult by the way they approach their repentance. What Shimei has done here is not new. To bring others with him, to bring those who might be sympathetic to him, who think he's a nice guy, in efforts to put pressure on the king to make a decision in his behalf. There are those that come and say, well, if I fall on my knees, if I ask them to not remember it anymore, I'll tell them I sin, but look, first I'm here before anybody else trying to repent. And I've been the first to come down and meet you and show my loyalty to you. David is put in a position where there is pressure on him, where he knows the law of God, where there seems to be some repentance that's taking place and some sincerity. So David grants him mercy. He allows him to continue to live, to see if he will further demonstrate that repentance. He wants to see if what our catechism has said will come out of him, where out of a true sense of his sin and an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, he will, with grief and hatred of his sin, turn from it unto God with the full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. That happens in your homes, doesn't it? Mom and dad are placed in the home as God's authority. Honor your mother and your father in the Lord. And kids come and they've done something, and they try to put pressure on mom and dad. Maybe they bring people with them and show them that maybe it's not so bad. Instead of falling on their knees and saying, well, we've sinned, we've done something wrong, we've sinned against God, they come and say, well, just put it out of your mind. Or they'll come and say, well, you know, look how good I'm being now. I've come and I've got the king, and I've gone into the river and I've helped him across. See how faithful I am? And mom and dad feel pressure to grant mercy. But you see, as our text implies, as the story plays out, though Shimei was granted time, in the end he still suffered for his sin and died. David is human. Pastors and elders are human. Parents are human. And humans often will grant people the benefit of the doubt. Well, there's repentance there. There seems to be some sincerity. So let's grant more time and see if the person is sincere. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we read this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You see, God has sent to us a judge and a king that is the Son of God. He came and suffered on that road of humiliation. He was pelted with curses. He died on the cross. But he now sits on high, having risen from the grave. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that he sits on the judgment seat. And on the day he returns to this earth, everyone who has ever lived will appear before him. You may be able to get away with your elders and pastor putting pressure on him to make a decision in your favor. You may be able to get away with mom and dad granting you some mercy, even though you're not truly sincere. But when Christ comes and sits on that seat, it doesn't matter how many people you have with you. When Christ comes and sits on that seat, it doesn't matter if you take somebody along who's a faithful Christian and who will certainly influence perhaps how he thinks favorably in your way as Ziba was present. It won't matter if you run into the river and try to show how happy you are that he's home. And it won't matter if you say, just put it out of your mind. I've sinned, but look what I'm doing now. The Son of God knows the heart. The Son of God on that day discerns and knows. There is no insincerity that will stand before the Son of God as he judges repentance and those who come before him. On that day, as they stand before the Son, he will know and understand all things. He will not be influenced by political pressure or practical circumstances, or who's with you or who's not. He will judge false repentance, those who do not confess their sins before God, as insincere, and like Shimei, those will die. But God's grace is present in the Son. And during this time, as we wait for that day, God is calling his people to have this true sense of repentance. that as they come before him and recognize their sin, they don't come somehow justifying what they have done, or simply just a little bit to say, I'm sorry, but I didn't really mean it. I'll try not to do it again. The sincere repentance that God is looking for is a true sense of sin and what you've done. An apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ. What it means that he died on the cross for you and paid for your sin and it's gone. It has to do with a grief and a hatred of your sin and what you've done, and you hate it so much you won't do it again. It has to do with turning from it and to God with the full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience to him. The reason David does not put Shimei to death at this point is he's granting him some mercy. He's granting him time. God has granted you time. God has instructed you and told you concerning repentance. God has granted you a Savior who has died for you and paid for your sins. Go to him sincerely. Recognize what your sin is. Recognize his marvelous grace. Recognize that he, in his grace and mercy, will grant you, who is sincerely repentant, eternal life forevermore. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this morning as we look at Shimei and we understand this story, we recognize his insincerity, yet we also recognize the mercy that was granted. Lord, we know that we are sinners. We recognize, O God, that we have patterns of sin in our lives that sometimes we do not care to deal with. Lord, help us as your people to keep in the context our understanding that our Savior will return to this earth, that there's no hiding or insincerity before him, but that, Lord, he knows us. He knows our hearts. Grant to us the grace of your repentance. Work in us, Lord. Give us greater understanding of our sin, a greater understanding of your mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ. Renew us in us a desire to live out that new obedience that only you can give. Help us as your people to see the mighty grace and mercy of our Savior, which overcomes all, so that you may stir in us a desire to live for him forevermore. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.